Who are you to judge the servant of another? In a world where every opinion feels like an absolute, Scripture draws a clear line between God's non-negotiable truths and our personal convictions. Today, we're diving into Romans 14 to ask, where has God spoken clearly and where has he left room for conscience? Stay with me as we learn how trusting God as the true master can bring unity to believers and strength to the public square. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. That's FPIW.org or FPIWaction.org. Hey, I hope you're having a fabulous day as you are driving into work today, or maybe you're sitting on your couch having a cup of coffee, whatever it might be. I'm glad that you're going to dive into the Word of God with me today. If you're enjoying this series, Absolutes and Principles of Conscience, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, and comment. And if you're in that Washington Defender app, place this inside of your huddle. It really does help us equip the grassroots and all those around us to get the Word of God out so it changes our hearts so that we change the public square. Also, if you're a financial supporter of FPIW or FPIW Action, thank you so very much for your generosity. We have a goal to defend and advance biblical values in the public square, and we do that by preaching the gospel message into every nook, cranny, part of Washington State. And so I want to encourage you to be a financial partner with us if you aren't already, and if you are, thank you so very much. All right, we are in Romans chapter 14, and we are talking about absolutes and principles of conscience. And one of the reasons why I like going through a book of the Bible is because I don't know that I would typically preach on principles of conscience, right? I just don't know that I would. But yet this going book by book forces me, and verse by verse forces me to handle topics that I wouldn't naturally handle. Now, anytime when we're talking about absolutes and principles of conscience, one of the key things that we have to remember is I am not talking about things that are clearly stated in Scripture as if we can move those from one category to another category, right? So a clearly defined scriptural sin cannot be moved over to a principle of conscience or a lack of conscience. So we want to keep in alignment with God's word as we go. So as we think through that, as we look at the scriptures today, I am talking about there are gray areas in our life that the scriptures aren't as clear. And so those are the areas that we're talking about. Paul uses mostly the example of days that we worship or food that we eat. He uses those kind of examples, you know, as we dive in. I'm even hesitant to say, well, this might be a modern day example. I can tell you that life starting at conception is an absolute. It's not a principle of conscience. I can tell you that two genders is an absolute. It's not a principle of conscience. I can tell you that God designed marriage between one man and one woman is an absolute. It's not a principle of conscience. I can tell you that a tax rate of, you know, 1% versus a tax rate of 2% is a principle of conscience. Like, the Bible does not clearly define. I will say that if you study some of the Old Testament, you would probably find out that the total taxation of an individual, I think the highest is 10%. I don't think it ever goes above that. So, you know, that's still a principle of conscience. So those kind of things we can have principles on. I can tell you that a principle of conscience could be, you know, whether we have bike lanes versus, you know, more open lanes for cars to actually drive on could be a principle of conscience. So there's a lot of different things and areas that we can look at that could be a principle of conscience and you know, those kind of things. But there's also the absolutes, like God's role of government is to punish evil and to protect the innocent. That's an absolute. It's clearly stated in Romans 13. It's clearly stated in 1 Peter and other areas of Scripture. So those are the kind of things that we're talking about. So let's read. It says, now, accept the one who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions. One person has faith that he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats vegetables only. The one who eats is not to regard with contempt the one who does not eat. And the one who does not eat is not to judge the one who eats, for God has accepted him. Now, here's our verse. Who are you to judge the servant of another? to his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. So we're focusing in on verse 4. Who are you to judge the servant of another? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. So we're thinking about that area of scripture, and we're focusing on that question. You are not the master. That's number one. We don't get to determine what is absolute and what is a principle of conscience. We're not the master. We're not in charge. God is sovereign. He's over us, and he is in charge of our lives. Now, we do know that the enemy of our soul is the prince of the air, you might say. And so there's this relationship of the spiritual battle that we're in right now that is happening all around us. Yet we see here in this context, we get the idea or concept that God is in charge. He's the master. And he asks this question, who are you to judge the servant of another? So when I look at another believer in Christ and maybe they say, I want bike lanes. And I'm like, no, I don't think we should have bike lanes. Okay. For me to put that at the same level as life starts at conception is not God glorifying. We have to find a way to find the degrees thereof, knowing our absolutes, but also knowing the areas that we may have some variations on. And our culture today has not allowed for that. So believers must stop acting like judges over fellow servants, because each one stands before the Lord. This is the key. When we come to a place of conscience, a principle of conscience, each one will give an account to the Lord. Whose servant are you evaluating when you judge another Christian? And our application, release the need to manage another believer's conscience and entrust them to their master, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, our risen Savior. So our absolute today is Hebrews 13:5. And to a certain degree, it goes with this teaching of who are you judging. To another degree, I just wanted one absolute per lesson. So we'll see here. 13:5, it says, make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I forsake you. Here's an absolute. Don't love money. God's with you, and he won't forsake you. That is clearly defined in scripture. And so we need that truth to flow over our hearts and over our lives today. God has accepted the believer that you are sometimes tempted to judge. God is your provider. God goes before you. God is your helper. It says, and so that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? We can say those things. We know these absolutes, and we know that there's those principle of conscience. The Lord is able to make a servant stand. Isn't that powerful? On the day of judgment, when you stand before the bema seat of Christ and all of the unrighteous things inside of you are burnt out completely, finally, your sanctification process is being taken care of. Jesus Christ is the one that's going to make you stand. He's the one that's going to help you and allow you to stand there. It's only by the blood of Jesus Christ that you'll be able to do that. So one last scripture is James chapter 4, verse 11. It says, do not speak against one another, brethren. He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer, but the law, a doer of the law, but a judge of it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? Now, this is what's important about this. When we think of judging our neighbor, if it's an absolute, we don't have to stand in judgment as in judgment for condemnation. If someone says, you know, I can abort my children, okay? I can kill my kids. We don't stand as the judge of that as if, you know, we're God. No. We know our absolute, that life starts at conception. And out of a love for our neighbor, out of a love for our brother and sister in Christ, we warn them that God says that that is murder, right? That's because we love them, and it's not a principle of conscience. We give them that idea that they're heading towards destruction. At the same time, when we see an area of bike lanes or no bike lanes, who are we to judge them? They're going to have to stand before God and say, God, I was for bike lanes, you might say. And the other one may say, I was not for bike lanes. And God's like, okay, you know, I don't really care about the bike lanes. I don't know what he'll say. But the reality is that those kind of things. And I think sometimes we like to put all these things into the same bucket. And they're not in the same bucket. A principle of conscience is very different than handling an absolute. An absolute, you warn your brother or sister and you say, hey, caution, judgment's coming, and you love them and you care for them. The other one, you don't necessarily have to even handle. I mean, you can discuss or debate if you want. That's you know, that's okay. As long as you do it in a God-glorifying way. But you're not there to conform them into your conscience and to make them look like you. So let's differentiate today as we go into the public square. What are areas that are absolutes and what are areas that are principles of conscience? I think it will bring a lot more unity into the conservative movement in Washington state when we are able to know these are the things that are non-negotiable, clearly stated in scripture, and these are the things that we can have variables thereof. And not everything's an absolute, and not everything's a principle of conscience. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. And Lord, we do ask for forgiveness of areas that we have violated your absolutes. God, we ask that you would give us grace and mercy when you have told us not to do something and we've done it anyways. God, we ask that you would just go before us, God. We do beg for your forgiveness, God, and know that you are a holy God, a righteous God. And God, you uphold us every time we fall. So God, go before us today, surround us today, be with us today. Let the word of God wash over our hearts and our souls today, refreshing us. God, we lift up our unsaved family members. We lift up our unsaved elected officials. We lift up those who are leaders and business leaders who do not know you. Governor Bob Ferguson, we pray for. President Donald Trump, we pray for. You know, just so many, God, that just need a fresh anointing and or, God, need a saving knowledge of you. And so we pray for that transformational work that only you can do. We pray that you would go before us today. Lord, I met Jonah yesterday. I pray for him, God, that you would take him deeper in a walk with you up in Whatcom County. Go before him today. In Jesus' name, amen. Go out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard